third arena of struggle is inflation versus deflation. Struggles are between those mostly debtors that benefit from inflation, as the value of their debt is eroded by inflation, and those mostly creditors that benefit from the deflation of wages, profits, and prices, and the resulting rise in the value of debt. Deflation, as Keynes argued so succinctly, involves a transfer of wealth from the rest of the community to the rentier class and to all holders of titles to money, just as inflation involves the opposite. In particular, it involves a transfer from all borrowers, that is to say, from traders, manufacturers, and farmers, to lenders, from the active to the inactive. Right now, even as the European Central Bank continues its 10-year-long struggle to avoid outright deflation and to raise inflation to 2%, deflationists remain dominant in the Eurozone, enforcing monetary and fiscal policies that closely resemble the deflationary effects of the gold standard of the 1920s and 30s. So it's now well established that those policies indebted and impoverished workers, farmers, manufacturers across Europe, even while they enriched the creditor class, and led to the popular insurrections of the 1930s, which culminated in the rise of fascism. Despite this history, still fresh in the minds of older generations, the financial architecture that is the euro and the policies of the eurozone are once again deflationary. As Karl Polanyi predicts in his book, The Great Transformation, society will inevitably take measures to protect itself. And sure enough, just as in the 1930s, European societies are looking to strong men and women, from Marine Le Pen to Matteo Salvini to Viktor Orban, for protection against deflationary, self-regulating, globalized market forces that are undermining their living standards and creating a great deal of insecurity.